This episode of The Guild is brought to you by Creative Edge. Creative Edge specializes in getting exposure for independent writers and authors and artists of all type. They specialize in arranging events such as book signings, library or school presentations, or any event related to the arts in general. If you are interested in seeing what Creative Edge can do for you, go into www.creative-edge.services. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Writers, Artists, and Readers Guild podcast, titled simply, The Guild. I am your host, Chris Mary Haltman, and today we are going to do another first. We don't have very many firsts left to do, but this is a first. And this first is that we have our first completely non-fictional writer, Natalie Plamondon-Thomas, who is a coach. She's a motivational speaker, and she has a lot of tips and tricks on how to be successful in her Think Yourself series. And she'll give us some tips. She'll give us some tips on how to say no to that negative voice that we hear as writers in our head all the time. But without further ado, let's listen to my interview with Natalie.
At this time, I'd like to welcome Natalie Plamondon-Thomas to the Guild podcast. Welcome to the show, and how are you doing today?
I am great, Christopher. I'm so glad to be on your show. Thanks for inviting me.
Yes, it's great to have you. And as I mentioned just previously, you will be our first non-fictional writer on the show, and that's exciting.
Ooh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we've had a couple just in the past week that have done both. We had Christina Rienzi, who's a coach and does also fiction. And then last week, we had Wesley Britton, who is an expert on spy fiction. So he's written 4 titles about spy fiction, but then also his own stuff. So it'll be great. But you have quite a catalog of books behind you, right? How many books have you produced so far?
16.
16. So, and yeah. So how does that even work, producing 16 books? I mean, you must be writing all the time.
Interestingly enough, I am not. See, the way it all started, I was starting to build my business. I wanted to be a motivational speaker and I wanted to write books. And the thing is, I was hearing this voice in my head telling me, what? You're not good enough. You can't be a professional speaker like in English. Like, you don't even speak English. See, I'm French, right? Yeah. So, and then the voice was telling me, you want to write books in English? Are you kidding me? Like, and it's true. My English was really, really bad, Chris. So I remember I was teaching yoga back then. And at the end of my yoga class, when everybody was laying on their mat, you know, I was doing a meditation. And I wanted them to relax their body, relax their face, relax their jaw. And then I wanted them to put their tongue on the roof of their mouth. So I said, put your thong behind your tits. And then everybody started to laugh. I didn't even know why, because I didn't know that my pronunciation was so bad. And anyway, my English was really bad. So that voice in my head was kind of right. But I remember getting a phone call from an organization wanted me to train their sales force. And I didn't even have a corporate rate, and they asked for my rate, and I'm like, 250. So they said, okay, so for 4 hours, so that would be 1,000. And I'm like, you know, I meant 250 for the whole thing, right? So I said, oh yes, that's correct, $1,000. So we booked a date and I got the contract. But when I hung up the phone, I remember hearing this nasty voice again in my head. You're not a real professional speaker. You don't deserve $1,000 paycheck for an afternoon. See, I was listening to that voice. And that's the day that I realized I need to do something with my own negative self-talk. That voice needs to go. I need to figure out a way to shut down this negative self-talk in my head. So I spent the last decade studying neuroscience. And that's when I started writing. That's when I started writing books in the Think Yourself series. So Think Yourself Confident, Think Yourself Thin, Think Yourself Successful, Think Yourself a Relationship Pro, Think Yourself. And now I have different online courses as well. Think Yourself a Tech Pro, Think Yourself a Sales Pro, Think Yourself Wealthy. So all of these came from the DNA system, the three-step system that I created that would help you reprogram the voice inside your head so that you can have a better self-esteem and a lot more confidence. Because if you're like, we trash talk ourselves all the time. Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. Absolutely. Right? We don't talk to other people like that. You don't walk around telling people, oh, you look fat in these jeans, or hey, you're starting your own business. It's never gonna work. You're not good enough. But we say that kind of stuff to ourselves. So that's why I started writing. That's why I started creating online courses, because I kind of discovered a way. So that's what I'm sharing in my book.
Well, that's interesting, because I mean, obviously the Guild podcast is very much a podcast. It started as a podcast for myself. I wanted to figure out, like, I wanted to become, I mean, in a way, like, better at writing, you know, doing creative writing. And I figured, what better way than to interview people who have already gone through the process and are in different stages of their writing career. And I've done that. And I've learned a lot from it. You know, you get a lot of tips and tricks. But and then that's so interesting that you say about that voice in your head, because so many authors, so many creative people suffer from imposter syndrome. You know, I'm not good enough. And it doesn't matter how many books that I've had published, how many short stories I have published. And I suffer from that myself, because you always compare yourself to the next person. You don't know their life story. You think they're probably in a position where they can write more than you can, because, you know, maybe they don't work full-time, maybe they don't have a full-time family that they need to take care of, you know. So I mean, how do you, when it comes to imposter syndrome, I mean, is there really truly a way to combat that? I don't want you to give away too many of your secrets. Obviously people want to buy your books, but I mean, what is the first step to combating something like that?
So the first step, and let's understand a bit about the brain. So I'm going to, once we understand how it works in our head, that's when we start paying more attention of what's happening inside your head. So, and I promise before the end of the show, I will give you a two-step technique that you can use right away in your own life. But let's start with the basic brain 101. Okay. So there's tons of different areas of our brain that I love. And I will talk about two main ones today. There's the logical mind and the unconscious mind. So let's start with the logical mind. The logical mind can handle 5 to 9 pieces of information at the time. That's kind of cool. So at a time you can be doing your grocery shopping while you are doing a, you are participating in a meeting on your phone, and you do your emails at the same time, and you keep your kids from falling off the cart, and you keep yourself from buying the bakery stuff in the bakery department, and you notice the dude at the back of the store winking at the girl in blue in the seafood department. So you can do all of this at the same time. We multitask all the time, right? But have you ever noticed, I don't know if it happened to you, or any of your audience member, when you're driving, let's say you're driving to a new address, music is on, the windows are down, it's a beautiful day, and you are getting closer to that new address. So you slow down and start looking at the numbers on the houses. Have you ever noticed that at that moment, you have to lower the volume on the radio? Isn't
absolutely,
that weird?
Absolutely. Right? I've even seen a meme about that where people...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. When you're getting closest to the address that you're going to go to.
And it's funny how will the volume of the radio will help you see the numbers better, right?
Yeah,
it's interesting because 5 to 9 pieces of information, we get into prefrontal cortex overload very quickly. Because when you're driving, you have the foot on the brake, the foot on the accelerator. There's the red light ahead. There's a kid that's about to cross the street. The lady on the corner that will more likely cut you off. There's the dude in the car next to you winking at you. Gross. So when you add looking at the numbers on the houses, the music becomes the one too many. So somehow 5 to 9 pieces of information will overload your prefrontal cortex very, very quickly. So let me talk about what it feels like to live at a logical level. And that's what we do. We listen to that voice talking to ourselves, leading our life with our logical brain. And the logical brain, living at a logical level is like, you know, you're trying to build your business. You're working really, really hard. You're trying to write a book, and then you're trying to be creative, and then you want to have brilliant ideas, and then you're working really hard. So you get up at 5 a.m. so that you can write, but you still have to bring your kids to school and sport and between your writing sessions. And then maybe you work full time. Maybe you have a part-time job. Maybe you have social media, and now you have to have a podcast, and you need to post for your podcast. And oh, you need a new account on Clubhouse now too. And the harder you work, the more exhausted you feel. You still live paycheck to paycheck, and you feel like you're getting further and further and further away from your dream life because you have zero life balance. It is like you're trying to go to New York City, but you are in an aircraft that's flying to Los Angeles. It's never going to work, right? If you stay in that aircraft. So a lot of my clients come to me and they say, Natalie, help me, teach me how to get off that aircraft. I say, no, stay on that aircraft, but talk to the pilot and say, hey, bud, do you mind turning around? Because that's where I'm going. Think of how fast you will get there if you stay on that aircraft, but you talk to the pilot. That pilot, that's the other part of the brain that I'm very excited about. That's your unconscious mind, the subconscious. So that has so much more power. Your logical mind could handle 5 to 9 pieces of information every second. The unconscious mind can handle 2.3 million pieces of information every second. I'm going to say that again, 5 to 9 compared to 2.3 million pieces of information every second. That's where the power is. And that's what we need to start using. So that little voice inside your head, if you instead make the unconscious mind talk to you and reprogram that voice that is so much more powerful, that's when you'll be able to really have great results. And if you tell the voice that you want to have great ideas at that time of the day when you're ready to write, that's when you will have them. See, it's like you have a personal assistant in your head that's writing down everything that you say or think. So that personal assistant is super powerful, and it writes down with this notepad everything that you think or everything that you say and hear. But the problem is, people wake up in the morning, they look at themselves in the mirror and they go, I'm so tired. I'm so stressed out. I think I'm gaining weight. So then your personal assistant writes it down. Tired, stressed out, gaining weight, got this, tired. What can I do for this? Oh, I know, I'm going to keep her awake all night. She's going to be really tired in the morning. Check. stressed out. What can I do for this? Oh, I know, I'm going to make her delete a very important appointment on her calendar. That's going to be very stressful. Check. Gaining weight. That's an easy one. I can certainly find a chocolate bar or something deep fried for her to eat today. Check. So your personal assistant is constantly listening. And a lot of writers, a lot of entrepreneurs are saying, oh, I have a writer's block. Okay, writer's block, get this. I got this. I put it down on my sheet. Or I'm so tired, or I'm so lazy, or I'm stuck. So then your personal assistant makes sure that this is going to happen. So this is the very first step, is understanding that all our thoughts are written on a notepad, and this powerful unconscious mind is making it happen for us. So that is the long answer for what's the first step?
Well, that's very interesting. And wait, how did you come about, because you were saying you studied all of this before you know, becoming a motivational speaker and everything like that. But I mean, how did that all come about? I mean, where did you find other coaches to help you, to train you, or did you go to college for it? I mean, where does one start in all
of
this?
Where does one start? Exactly.
I see so many. I mean, I'm part of very many author groups on Facebook and stuff like that, and a lot of times the books that you see that come out aren't often fiction books. It's usually these kind of motivational books, you know, do this to be successful in business, do that. And you wonder, it's like, well, what, and they'll never talk about it. What is your criteria? What is your background that makes me want to pick up your book about success when I don't know who you are? I mean, so where does one start?
Where does one start? Okay.
Where did you start? So, is the better question, maybe.
So the first, okay, see, so to that question, I'll go way back. My parents were positive freaks. So we had signs in our house everywhere. You can do this. You are amazing. You will go far in life. And every Sunday, we didn't have to go to church, but we had to listen to motivational tapes. So my parents made us learn, and we had to listen over and over to Zig Ziglar and Og Mandino and Jean-Marc Chaput and a whole bunch of different motivational speakers. And I got into the habit of listening to audio tape back in the days, cassettes, and now I have the Audible app, and I continue to listen to about three books a week. So I've gotten into the habit. A lot of people are, it's more and more popular in the last decade, I would say, especially in the past 5 years with podcasts, a lot of people are using audio to learn, right? So this is something that has been a constant in my life. I've continually listened to books, but I realized that a lot of times in books, what I was finding was the first step. And the first step is, how do you make a plan? How do you set up your goals? How do you do what you want? And I was not able to find a lot of implementation to this. So let me give you the example of a kitchen renovation. Let's say you're doing a kitchen renovation. So the first step, you're going to make a folder. And then in that folder, you will put samples of these cupboards, this countertop, this island, this hardwood floor, the backsplash, the paint chip. You're going to put everything that you want in your kitchen in that folder and get all these samples together. And that's your plan. Or in real life, you're making a list. I want this, this, this. And, or you're making a vision board. I don't know if it's very popular in Sweden. And I know it's very popular here in Canada and in the States. A lot of people make vision boards. This is the first step of my DNA system, the D for desire. You need to know what you want, right? That's very important. So you can't build a kitchen if you don't have a plan. So it is important. However, it is not a kitchen. It's a folder with samples in it. You can't invite people in your folder, and you can't certainly not cook in a folder. It's not going to work. And if vision boards worked, everybody would be living on a deserted island drinking martinis, right? Like, and driving Mercedes Benz, because that's what's on everybody's vision board. The problem is people do that step very well. And all the self-help books out there are telling me this on how to do this and how to be clear and do smart goals and this and that. And then many other books that I was reading were the books on how do you implement stuff in your life now? How do you create new habits? A lot of books are that, but this is my third step of the DNA system, the A for actualize. So the problem is people go from making their vision board to implementing new habits in their life. But this is like putting the island over top of the existing island in your kitchen, taking the new cupboards and putting them over top of the existing cupboard. It is not going to work. You need step two. You need the N for new you. So that's my second step. You need to gut out the old kitchen. You need to remove negative self-talk, limiting belief, anger, fear, hurt, sadness, guilt, trauma, all the crap that you've accumulated in the years that is no longer serving you. We need to make room. And that's what I do. That's what I studied for. That's what I did different courses because you were asking specifically, what did I study? So a lot of the courses were in neurolinguistic programming. So I did two different practitioner courses and I did two master practitioner courses with two different schools. So one from the UK and one here in Canada. And I just recently did the RTM protocol. So that's the reconsolidation of traumatic memories. So this is a science-based course in order to remove PTSD and remove trauma, disconnect the emotional connection with a past event that will make us go do things that we don't want to do. Like sometimes people in relationships, they are facing a block in their present current relationship because of something happened in a previous relationship. Mm-hmm. So if we can disconnect all that stuff from our past is when we are able to move forward in our future and in our objective, but we must make room. So that's the second step that most people skip. And that's what I specialize in. So when people train one-on-one with me, we do mainly that second step because everybody knows how to set up their goal. And a lot of people know how to implement new habits. But that second step, that's what I do. It's like I'm a brain dentist and I help fixing cavities, right? So yeah. I do the fillings for them. I have special tools and we do that working at an unconscious level. A lot of people do have a very, very healthy mouth hygiene. They brush their teeth really, really well. They floss, they do the mouthwash and everything. But if you have cavities, it's not by taking a brush and brushing your teeth very, very, very well over top of this cavity that the cavity is going to go away. You need to go to the dentist for that. And that's what I do. I have specific tools that I use with my clients in order to do that. In my books, what I do is I give them the system and lots of questions and lots of powerful questions. Again, I have a lot of online courses as well that where I give the concrete step on how to do that on your own as a self-help tool. And if people want to go further with these processes, then we can also work together one-on-one.
Yeah. So how does it work? I mean, writing a self-help book, I mean, because we talk a lot on this podcast about how the process of writing creatively and stuff like that. So how does the process look like when you've like from first idea to finished product? Yep. How does that actually work? Do you write everything by yourself? Do you have somebody else that works with you? I mean, how does it work? I mean, you get an idea. We need to work on this. We need to write up this. People need help with this.
Okay, so there are, with 16 books, I did not write them all the same way. My very first book took me 3 years to write. Mm-hmm. So it took me actually a year to write, even less than that. Maybe, you know what, I think maybe 3 months to write. Then I sent it to my editor. My editor returned it to me with a whole bunch of changes. I practically had to rewrite the whole thing. Discouraged. So I put it on my credenza on the desk in my office and it stayed there for 2.5 years because I was just not motivated anymore. I don't know. It just stayed there. So I finally got a kick one day and I finished it in a weekend. It was not even that bad. It just, you know, it just happened. The second book, you think I learned a lesson, right? So how long do you think it took me to write my second book? 3 years. Yeah. I didn't learn anything. So yeah, my second book took me a long time as well. And that time, what I did is I, at that second book, which was the my first international number one bestseller. So I have 8 international number one bestsellers. Mm-hmm. And my first one, Think Yourself Thin, the DNA system to reprogram your brain to lose weight and keep it off. So what happened is the same thing happened. I wrote the book, it came back, and I had a whole bunch of edits to do. But then I had my DNA system and I thought, I'm going to drink my own Kool-Aid. I'm going to apply my DNA system to write this book it's been sitting there it's been a year on my desk and I need to do something about this. So I use my DNA system in the 6 layers, the 6 levels of a person's self. So our brain has 6 different levels. There's the environment is the first level. So the people around you and the stuff around you, it's where you are. Your behaviors are the things that you do. That's you brush your teeth, you go to work, you walk, you eat, you exercise, you write. Step number 3, the level number 3 of a person's self, the 3rd level of the brain is the skills, the thing that you need to be good at. There's some behaviors that go up an extra level that become a skill because you're really good at that. It can be something that you were born with or something you've practiced or that you do a lot of, like writers are really good at writing. And that's your 3rd level. The 4th level is the beliefs and value. It's what people believe in their head and what's important to them. So the limiting beliefs are all there as well. Okay, so that's very important to remember that. Level number 5 is the identity. So that's who we are. Every time we say, I am an author. I am a fitness instructor. I am a business entrepreneur. I am happy. I am lazy. I am fat. I am all the I am. Okay. Goes in the identity level. And the last one is the purpose. Why am I doing this? Who else am I serving beyond myself? Who else is this book going to help? So I applied my own system and I actually interviewed a very successful author who had written 14 books. And I asked her, I'm going to ask you these, I'm going to try them on. So I called her and I said, what's your environment? What's your environment when you edit a book? So the book just came back from your editor, from your publisher, and you need to edit it. What's your environment? She said, in my environment, I need to clear my whole desk. There cannot be anything on the desk. And I also need a red pen, a blue pen. I actually print the whole thing because that helps me. And then I mark it. So what are the behaviors is she circles, she writes stuff in the margin and she goes one page at a time. And that's her behaviors. The skills, I ask her, what are you really good at? She said, you know what? One thing that I became really good at is writing with words that have 3 or more syllables. Because so she got a whole bunch of different websites where she goes that she finds synonyms with longer words that are more eloquent because of the type of writing that she does. I'm French Canadian, so this is not one of my skills, but that's one of hers, right? And then I ask her beliefs and value. What do you believe? What are the limiting beliefs that you might have gotten rid of in order to write that book? So what was in the way? So in her beliefs, she said, well, you know what? I believe that I used to believe that what I had to say was not really important, that who am I, you know, in order to have a message or to write that. Like I used to not believe in myself that this would be a good book. Mm-hmm. And when I started to believe that actually it would be a good book and the value, so that's beliefs and value. So the value part of that level, I asked her, what's important to you? She said, what's important to me is that I can help people with that book. She's a nonfiction author. She said, what was important to me is that I would be able to help people. I would be able to share a clear message and that I would be able to transform life, sharing my experience with them. And I said, your identity, when you say I am, what do you say to yourself? So, well, I am an international number one best-selling author. So that's what she was telling herself. And I said, what's your purpose? Why are you doing this? And she said, I really want to help women that were in my situation that I got out of. I want to help them do this. So she went ahead and gave me all the different layers, all the different levels. And I applied that for myself. I did my whole system. I said, okay, I'm going to try it on my environment. I'm going to clear my desk, see if it works for me. And I found my own environment. What's the environment that I like to write in? What are the behaviors that I do? So I'm not a pen and paper. I type. I do a lot more of typing, but I found what were the behaviors? What are the skills that I need to become good at? What are the beliefs and value that I need to get rid of that are not helping me? Well, I'm French Canadian. There's no way I can write in English. That was a huge limiting belief, right? I needed to get rid of that, right? And who am I? I am an author. I am someone that has a message. And why am I doing this? Who else am I serving? I want to help anybody, and especially entrepreneurs who want to make money living from their passion, because they're, all the odds were against me and I figured it out. So that's why I'm doing this, because I know that I can help other entrepreneurs be successful, be able to quit their full-time job and do this for a living, because I was able to do it as a person that didn't even speak English. So this is part one of the answer. And I know that it's a long answer, but it really helps when you fragment to the six different levels of your brain and you ask yourself environment, behavior, skills, beliefs and value, identity and purpose. So ask yourself these questions for each of the segments of your writing, and that really is going to help. So this is how I wrote my first two books. Mm-hmm. Then some of the books that I've written, I told my books. So I recorded myself. So I was doing a seminar that was called Think Yourself Successful. And I recorded that, me saying it. And I uploaded the transcript on Rev. Mm-hmm. And the transcript became the first draft of my book, right? So you can do it that way. Another book that I did was a compilation of many different blogs. So you can write books like the 15 keys for blah, blah, blah. And every month in your newsletter, you write one of the key. And then you can break it down into three ways to reach that key. And those can be three other different blogs. So you can look back at all your blogs and create a book together with that. Another book that I did the reverse. I went to Palm Desert for 2 weeks and I wrote a book in 2 weeks, The 27 Steps for a Vibrant Life. So Think Yourself Healthy. So these are all the health stuff that I'm doing in my life to be healthy. And this one, I used it very short chapters. So there's one chapter per 27 keys. So there's 27 steps. Well, 27, I don't know if you know that, but it is 6 months. Of 1 week of blog every week. So I came home after, right? So 27 tips, all of a sudden I had my next 6 months of blogs ahead of me. So then I took one tip per week and I had my blog written in advance. So you can multi-purpose like that. And these blogs, now I do video blogs. So on social media every week, I release one longer video blog. I strip the audio and the audio becomes my podcast.
Yeah.
And then you can extract the text, and the text can become a portion of your next book. So my Think Yourself Confident book is not out yet, but I do have Think Yourself Confident online course. I've recorded the whole online course and now I uploaded it on Rev. I got my first draft and I actually have someone, an editor, that is just making good sentences with it, because the way I speak is not the way it should be written at all, right? So I actually get, this is the first time that I do that I'm asking somebody to do the grammar and it's all my stuff. It's all what I said in my online course. So this book is being written right now as we speak. And of course, I'm going to get that draft and then I will start writing. So there's lots of different ways my technique for the 2 weeks was I had 27 steps, 27 keys. I was planning on writing for 30 days, writing this book in 30 days, writing one key per day for 27 days. The first day I've written the 27 keys, what are they going to be? And then the last day I was going to do the intro and the outro. But that would have been a 30-day book. But because I was away on holidays by myself by the pool, I managed to write two tips every day. Awesome. So that's how I wrote it in 2 weeks. But really, my plan was to write it in 30 days. So there's lots of ways that you can write book and that you can eliminate the writer's block. And a very important step, and one more tip that I will give you is to use your personal assistant. Give your personal assistant a job at night when you go to bed. And you say, tonight, while I sleep very comfortably and deeply, I want you to go write my next chapter in my book overnight, because you know everything that I know, you know all the research I've done, and you know a lot more than I do, because you can handle 2.3 million pieces of information every second. So why don't you write that for me tonight while I sleep? And tomorrow I'm going to wake up refreshed, rejuvenated, feeling like $1 million. And as soon as I put my fingers onto my keyboard, you will give me that chapter that you've been writing all night. Use your personal assistant in order to do your writing. I do that a lot, but I just need to give my personal assistant a job before I go to bed and say, hey, you take care of that. This is your specific tool, your specific task that I'm ordering you to do while I sleep. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. So when did you find success? I mean, when did you start noticing that people were picking up your books, wanting you to do motivational speaking? I mean, how long did it take for you to find real success with this venture?
Yes. Not that I agreed with this, and it got me a bit frustrated actually at the beginning, but I'll tell you exactly when it happened, and it almost happened overnight, is when I became an international number one best-selling author. And I had already written some books that were not bestsellers, and I was very smart, I was very intelligent, my books were great. And the day that all of us and I became international number one best-selling author, all of a sudden people started to pay attention. I was like, my other books are just as good. And this book was released before being an international number one bestseller, right? Yeah, and yeah, it was pretty darn good even before I became an international number one best-selling author. But no, people like the title. And even today, I get so many speaking engagements and so many people asking me to be on their podcasts, on their TV shows, or on the news, because I am 8 times international number one bestselling author. And it's a bit frustrating that people get attached to titles like that.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. So I have to say, I do have 16 books. There's a lot of them that are not bestsellers, and they're just as good. You know what I mean? I'm the same person.
Yeah.
Right? No, but it is what it is. So it did make a difference for me. And it's a title that people like, and people go, ooh, right? I'm just a small town girl, right? Yeah. Like I'm just me. But people go crazy about that. So I have to say it made a difference. Yeah.
And is that the Think Yourself Thin? That is your...
The first one was a Think Yourself Thin. Yeah. And then Think Yourself Successful. Think Yourself, what was the next one after? Think Yourself Grateful, I think. Think Yourself a Relationship Pro. Mm. Think Yourself Clean from the Inside Out. And then, oh my gosh, I lose track.
Well, with 16 books, and I think you would. is it a competitive world, the motivational speaking world and the motivational book? I mean, are there a lot of people out there selling a lot of different ways of thinking? Or, I mean, do you find yourself in competition a lot, or do you even think about
100%.
That?
100%. 100%. There's a lot of competitions. Now, they're in the nonfiction world. It's very different. We are not writing books in order to sell books. We are writing books in order to sell our services and to be hired for speaking engagements. So in my case, my books are expensive business cards. So if I do a speaking engagement, I would send the organization that I want to speak for a copy of my book. I have partnerships with a lot of naturopathic doctors in my area. And when people go see them because they want to lose weight or they're not healthy, so these doctors are giving for free a copy of my books to these clients, the thin and the healthy and the clean, so that these clients will eventually like me and hire me in order to help them lose the weight. When I do I have a speaking engagement in San Antonio coming up in September, and they pay for me to come there, deliver my keynote on stage, and they will purchase a book for the whole audience as well. Or I would go speak at the woman's show and have a table there after my keynote. And then everybody, like 200 people, will come after my conference, and then they will each buy a book. So that's how we sell books in the nonfiction world, because I'm not Michelle Obama. I'm not, you know, like, it's not like I sold 25 million books overnight when I launched my book. And so it's different. So we use books in a different ways in order to be as part of a business card to sell them something else. So my online courses, and let's face it, a lot of people are asking me and maybe wondering, you just said that you launched an online course, Think Yourself Confident, but you didn't have the book. Shouldn't you do the reverse, write the book first and then do the online course, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's because the online course is $297 and the book is $25. So what's best for me, you know, like, and it's much more likely people love books still, and they love the video learning now. People are really into video learning. To have somebody tell you and talk to you is a lot more personalized. With exercise, with activities, with close your eyes and think about this, blah, 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 is a much easier way to learn than to have to concentrate in a book, because the online course, you can multitask. You can cook dinner while you watch an online course, but you cannot cook dinner while you read a book. Well, you can't, it's not easy. You can't drive your car as you're listening, to a book, but you could be listening to an online course. But if you are driving, you cannot read the book at the same time, the paperback that I'm talking about. So it's a bit different. But I've found that the online learning is more popular now than the physical book. But I think people will always buy books. And that's why I am turning my online courses into books as well, because it makes sense.
Yeah. Did you, I mean, are these all these books self-published, or have you gone through, is there a publisher that you work with at all, or is it all
They're all self-published. I did hire some self-publishing company to help me with the first few books until I realized that I had kind of my own editor for grammar. I had another editor for content. And then I had my own lady that was doing the book layout, and somebody else that was doing my book covers. And I realized that after a while, I had all the pieces of the puzzle. So I created my own publishing company, Think Yourself Publishing. Mm. And now I can publish my own books. And I've published dozens of books for friends and clients as well that say, hey, I don't have $5,000 to give to a self-publishing company who will help me publish my book and get the ISBN and post it on Amazon. And I don't know to do that. I don't have any resources. So I've helped a lot of people with that, with the Think Yourself Publishing company. Yeah.
That's very nice.
Well, I remember that I did not give you that tool yet to change your own negative self-talk. So let me give you that tool.
Yes, I was just about to say that, because our time is winding down. And I was saying that there's one more piece of the puzzle that you need to to give the listeners?
Yes, absolutely. So it's a two-step technique in order to change our negative self-talk, okay? Mm. Now, the thing is, you've probably heard of affirmations before.
Yeah.
People doing affirmations. Well, affirmations don't work if you don't believe them. So the problem is your personal assistant's in your head. And when I work, let's say, with the Think Yourself Thin program, with people that are highly overweight, I can't say, okay, look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am thin. Or the Think Yourself Wealthy program, people that are in deep financial struggles, I can't say, okay, put your hands on your hips now and then say, I am rich. It's not going to work because your personal assistant is like, no, we're not. Oh, she's not talking to me. She must be just watching a vampire movie right now, and vampires don't exist. I'm not writing this down. This is not for me. So we need to talk to the personal assistant with a language that they understand. So if you hear yourself say in your head, I'm so stressed out. Okay, your personal assistant just heard that. So you need to, step one, repeat the thought you just heard in the past. Repeat it in the past with I used to. So you hear yourself say, I'm so stressed out. Oh, wait. I used to be stressed out all the time. So your personal assistant listens to this and said, oh, yeah, stressed out. I have that on my list right here. Why are we talking about this in the past? Are we done with this? So that's when you follow up with step two. Step two is a progressive statement. A progressive statement starts with I am willing to learn, or I'm in the process of. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I used to think that I was stressed out all the time. I used to be stressed out all the time, or I used to. Now I'm willing to learn how to create a balanced life. Now I'm in the process of creating a more balanced life. You hear yourself say, what are people saying right now with online stuff? I'm so bad with technology,
yeah.
Right? Everybody's saying that. I'm so bad with technology. I used to think I was bad with technology. I'm willing to learn what it is that I have to click in order to see my clients on Zoom. Mm. Or I'm willing to learn. I'm in the process of figuring it out, because we've figured out our phones, and our phones are changing all the time. They do an update on them, yeah. And all of a sudden you can't find the picture of your dog wearing a bikini and you're panicking. Well, that's the thing. We figure it out all the time. We went from rotary phone to clip phone, you know, the
snap phone.
Yeah. Yeah, the flip phone. Yeah, you went to it. And now all of a sudden we came to a phone that had no keyboard and we figured it out.
Yeah.
So we are not bad with technology. We are good with technology, but we can't just say, I am good with technology. We say, I used to think I was bad with technology. Now I'm willing to understand that technology changes all the time. So what I'm good at is actually learning the next thing.
Yeah.
Like when you ride a bike, the bike doesn't change. You know how to ride the bike forever. But let's say the bike was changing all the time. We would have to relearn. And that's what happens with technology. Technology is not hard. It's pretty simple to learn. It's just because it evolves and it changes. But understanding that it's a very good reshift, and we reframe this saying, hey, I used to think I was bad with technology. Now I'm in the process of learning where it is that is the next, maybe the next update or the next thing that I need to learn. And I'm willing to learn that too, because I've learned so many different things in the past already. So use the two-step technique. I used to, and now I'm in the process of, or I'm willing to learn. So that's how you get to change those negative self-talk.
Very good. Well, thank you, Natalie. So what is next on the agenda for you? What is the next Think Yourself book? I mean, you were talking about the one that you're working on now, yeah.
So the next Think Yourself is going to be an online course. So I have created a lot of online course in the past 2 years, as a lot of people are asking me, Natalie, I know you're a confidence expert. I know you want to play with my brain, but how do you make money, right? How have you been able to build the Think Yourself Academy? So that's when I created the Think Yourself a Business Pro course and the Think Yourself a Tech Pro courses. So these Tech Pro have 4 different courses in the series. So the basic course, there's how to build your website, how to put your slides in your background. So there's different tech things that I've been teaching people in order to be able to change their mindset about technology and how physically to do it. So my next one that everybody's asking me now is about my social media strategy. So Think Yourself a Marketing Pro is okay. my next course. And I have two in motion right now, Marketing Pro and Think Yourself an Online Course Pro, because I have 16 online courses. So people are asking me, how do you create an online course and where do you host it? How do you record it? What do you do? So I'm going to reveal my own strategies on how do I create my online courses and how do I market them. So the next two are Think Yourself an Online Course Pro and Think Yourself a Marketing Pro.
Very good, very good. And if people want to get in touch with you, if they want to see what you're doing or even take one of your courses, where do they turn to them?
So you go to thinkyourself.com. That's my website. And if you want to book, I can offer your audience a free 15-minute call with me. So a free virtual coffee. So thinkyourself.com/schedule. So thinkyourself.com/schedule for a free virtual coffee with me. We can do a lot during 15 minutes. We can get rid of a few limiting beliefs, rephrase them together, or do a value interview, try to figure out what is important to you. There's a lot we can do in 15 minutes. Yeah. I do recommend that you take advantage of this. And if you want the 15 keys to confidence, you can download the confidence guide. So go to thinkyourself.com/confidence guide and you get to witness the 15 keys for self-confidence.
Then and those things will be in the show notes as well. Well, thank you very much. And it's been very, very enlightening. And I think our listeners will take advantage of your coffee break, your 15-minute coffee chat. And it's been very interesting to listen to the strategies and how you came by them and everything. So it's very interesting. And I'm sure everybody will take advantage of it. Thank you very much, Natalie, for coming on.
Thank you so much for inviting me onto your show. It was fantastic. Very nice to meet you and your audience.
Yes, and all the success with your in the future and your future endeavors as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And welcome back. That was a very interesting chat. As Natalie had said, that you can before we talked, she can talk for 10 minutes about one subject and stuff like that, and she definitely could. I'd like to thank Natalie for coming on. I'd like to thank John Altman for providing the music. I'd like to thank you for listening. Please give us a review, rate us, follow us wherever you get your podcasts to keep the algorithm going. So that would be great. And don't forget to check out Creative Edge Management to see what they can do for you. For now, thank you very much and talk to you later.